How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Amen. Our subject today is walking in uprightness. Now, this is a really big question. What brings pleasure to God? First of all, imagine now, we're talking about God, the cause of all things, the Father of all, Mr. Big, Creator. I like to describe Him as the one who stretched out His fiery fingertips and flung galaxies into existence, worlds. Like the farmer sows seeds into the field, God sows galaxies into the universe. You see, the Christian here has a staggering premise. And the premise is this: that this awesome being in charge of the whole universe can be affected by you. I'm telling you, one of the greatest secrets I've discovered about God is that you and I, what we would probably say is mere humans, have the ability to affect the heart of God, to bring Him pain. Did you know that you can bring Him pain? One of the most sacred sermons, if I ever preach a sermon, I don't do very sermons very good, but one of the most sacred messages I've ever taught in my life, and I seldom teach it, it's called The Hurt of God. And I take you into Ezekiel chapter 6 and draw back a curtain that very few people have seen behind of what God is like. Let me give you a little peek. This is God speaking. Ready? And God says, listen to these three words. This is God. Most writers in the Bible hide this truth. They all knew it. Each of them gives us a glimpse. I could show it to you in every book of the Bible, or at least by every author of the Bible. But let me give you Ezekiel's words. And he pulls back and lets you have this glimpse inside the heart of God that few people have ever seen. And this is what it says. God says, I am broken. For their hearts have gone whoring after idols. Imagine. Very few people know the hurt of God. Paul knew about it. He said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Are you ready? and in the fellowship of his suffering. Paul knew about the suffering of God. At that time, I would take you through John and Luke, Isaiah. It's kind of a strange truth. Most people who read the Bible don't get it, don't grasp this truth. Methinks the reason why this truth is seldom grasped is because God reserves this kind of knowledge for those who care about him. And he doesn't want this displayed. You can hurt God. Well, the question, though, before us is not how to hurt God, but how can you please God? What? Imagine, this is staggering to me, dear friends, that we have the ability to bring pleasure to God. So much so, listen to Zephaniah, prophet. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will, say it, rejoice over thee with singing. Imagine. You can affect God so much that he sings about you. I want to do that. Mere mortal that I am. Well, we haven't got time, but we have had another occasion when we did this, and maybe we'll do it again someday. I don't know. That's what, you know, the one thing that concerns me about coming together like this is we come to sacred contents of Scripture, and the truth is we may not pass this way again. And that's why I appreciate your faithful attendance, because I know that there's an enemy who wants to divert you if he knows that something's going to be there that would help you. He'll keep you. He'll trick you. But those of us who have learned to walk disciplined life have a categorical appointment with him every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Because part of our time is a meandering through Scripture, where we learn things that we may never get to visit for another 7 years. I try to teach the whole counsel of God in 7 years. I can't even get it all in 7 years, but I kind of, after 7 years, start to bring back things. But you see, if you miss it for 7 years, and you might miss it forever, which would be the great tragedy. So we may not pass this way again in terms of what are all the things, because the Bible lists the things that bring pleasure to God. But the one I want to talk about this morning is a really neat one. I know also, my God, that you test the hearts. You try the hearts. And when you check into our hearts, you have pleasure whenever you discover this condition of uprightness. Uprightness brings pleasure to the heart of God. In fact, look at the scripture. Better is the poor man that has uprightness than somebody who is rich but is perverse in his ways. Upright, straight up, authentic, no dishonesty. no deceit, no iniquity, no hidden motives, no mixture of good and evil. Somebody who walks upright and can be poor financially, but he is a lot better off than somebody with money who lacks. Now, this is an interesting, I used this last Sunday on the subject of sincerity, but the necessary scope of uprightness. What does uprightness need to include? So let's look at, I think, four things here. Number one, everything proceeds out of the heart. So, do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, that be good, and to them that are upright in the heart. Everything in life comes out of the heart. The heart condition is the most important part of your life. What do you do with your heart? Listen to the wisest man in history. Out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. Let me give you the front end tag of that. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart issue all the factors that will affect your life and the life of others. Your heart. And so if uprightness is going to be anywhere, it must first be in the heart. And then God expects us to have uprightness in speech. This makes sense, doesn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it starts with the heart. But God's looking for uprightness in our words. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart. My words will reflect uprightness that exists in my heart. My lips shall utter knowledge clearly. Now, here's the condition. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Let me just change this word Zion for a moment and put in the word Christendom. Not that I'm changing the word of God, I'm only changing an application. I suggest to you that what applied to Zion applies to the Christian church. And had I time to take you down a road to support that, I could do so. The sinners in Christendom are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire, which is the Lord? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings, eternal judgment? Here's the answer. He that walketh righteously and speaks uprightly. Now, this is a wonderful passage, and I actually could have spent the whole morning on this passage. And I'm skipping over some verses. I'm going to take it now to verse 17 of the same chapter, because I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to see what happens when you have uprightness of heart. Are you ready for this? Look at what will happen. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. You see, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, I hold this view that if people could just see what God is like, they couldn't help but love Him serve him. Couldn't help but cast themselves at his feet. Couldn't help themselves from immediate willingness to give up all the, quote, pleasures of sin. Everything pales into existence, into in comparison, like a candle to the sun. Everything pales into insignificant when you see God. That's why you want to hang out with people who know what he's like. I could suggest a few names to you. Let me give them to you. David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James. Greatest tragedy on this planet is a lack of knowledge of the Holy One. People who hang out with you should come to know God because you know God. Have you seen him? How much have you seen? Oh, Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, whose train fills the temple. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. The pure in heart see God as he is. The impure in heart make up their own versions of God. Because evil in the heart creates an agenda by which you will automatically distort the image of God. If you want to read this in the Bible, go to Romans chapter 1. Who, when they knew God, they worshipped him not as God that he was. Neither were they thankful, but they became, what? Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Now listen to this, and they changed the glory. They changed the glory. And what you will hear on television with men being interviewed with an R-E-V-E-R-E-N-D in front of their names, giving you a distorted version of God. Does anybody know God? I want to suggest to you that one of the great advantages of uprightness is listed in this verse. And I shall see the King in his beauty. And that's not all. And they shall behold the land that is very far off. Oh, called Beulah Land, called heaven. Oh, did my mother sing about it? So, needs to affect our speech, because if it does, you'll see the King.
It has to affect our walk. That is, everywhere we go, everything we do.
He that walketh in his uprightness fears the Lord, has respect for the Lord. But those that are not upright, that is perverse, distorted in their ways, they despise the Lord. And then lastly, we need to be upright whenever we have to adjudicate or make a judgment. Now, this is not the word judge in terms of damning somebody at all. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. The word judge is used two different ways in the Bible. One is to condemn and to damn. And nobody gets the option to do that. Nobody. Nobody. That's why you should never say damn you to anybody. That's not within your power, your prerogative, and it is mocking God. But we are to judge, that is to adjudicate every situation. Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? And I tell you, this is the greatest need in the American judicial system today. Judges who live and adjudicate from uprightness. No bent, no twist, no distortion. Well, how is it that people get bent and out of uprightness? I tell you that the simple problems in America and in Washington and in the judicial system are indeed simple. They are listed in the Bible in clear terms. Are you ready? The taking of bribes. In other words, you're going to make an adjudication, but you got something over here or somebody's over here twisting your arm, saying if you do that, this consequence is going to happen. Or if you... That's why they mockingly say about politicians, they're the best people money can buy. Now, let me mess here because the election's coming up. Don't worry about whether I get through today. If I don't, we'll finish it next Sunday. If you're not worried, I'm not worried. In our electoral system, we elect leaders. We choose the leaders, right? And they are to represent who? The people. We, the people. So, we choose these men and we send them to Washington, and when they get there, what happens to them? They could do their own thing. Or they are, now listen to this word because it's a dirty, filthy word, but you won't recognize it as such. They are lobbied. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they lobbied by those who elected them? Answer, no. They are lobbied by corporations, business companies. Hello. And yet they're not even supposed to be representing corporations. They represent we the people. And the arm twisting and the lobbying and the bribery that goes on in Washington is being done to our elected officials by those who never chose them, who they have no constitutional responsibility to. Everybody, are you understanding what I'm saying here? And that's the problem of the whole word incorporate. It means to make a new body, incorporate, a new corpus. And yet, in the Constitution, there is no provision for representatives, either the House or the Senate, to represent corporations. They are to represent the people. Instead of the people influencing in Washington and in our court system, it's business. And it's done. The tricks are old, called bribery. On the other hand, my beloved, you and I are to have uprightness when it comes to adjudicating. So when we judge. Here, this is only going to be fun now. Are you ready? I'm going to try to go faster. I'm not very good at fast. That's my broken leg. I don't know. And by the way, Debbie, I would have come back there to shook your hand, but this, I'm on crutches and I couldn't get there. But if you'll linger for a bit, I'd like to meet you after, okay? All right. What are the benefits of uprightness? Are you ready? Let's go. Number one. You will be delighted in by God. Now, you have heard that God is not a respecter of persons. True. But he is a respecter of faith. And let me tell you something. He is a respecter of uprightness. Such, look at this, such as are upright in their way are God's delight. Woo! You get to put delight. You get to put joy into God's heart. Uprightness. Nothing else will do it like uprightness. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what makes it easy to have convictions and not bow, bend, or shirk. Because it doesn't matter what people think. It only matters what God thinks. If you become a respecter of persons, if you live your life based on what will people think of me, what you'll become like Washington in miniature. What's politically correct? It doesn't matter what's politically correct. What matters is, are we upright or not? And this brings delight to God. Well, I could leave you aside, put you in a condition of suspended animation, and if it wasn't for this leg, I would dance all around this place because I get to do this, and so do you. We get to be delightful to God, and in response, he gets to take delight in us. And he's up there in heaven saying, yeah, David, go. Hey, Judith, all right. He takes delight in you if you're upright. Number two, he gives you special attention. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Whoa. Is that cool or what? You know, David, psalmist, remember? Psalm 51. Listen to what he said. Oh God, hide not thy face from me. You know, I don't know if there's anybody here who wants God to hide his face from you. Uprightness is the condition in which causes his face to be towards you. Glory to his name. His countenance doth behold the upright. It will cause an increased receptivity of your prayer. Take a look at the scripture now. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now, that sacrifice could be money, I suppose, but could be prayers. Could be, you're going to see it in a few months. It applies to worship, praise. Praise coming from the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Come on. If you were a judge and somebody came to you and you knew he was crooked as a dog's hind leg, would you listen to him? Would you give him a break? Wise people owe it to themselves, to God, and to the people who come to them to disregard abominable appeals. So uprightness is this condition that God looks at it and he says, when you pray out of uprightness, got it? He's delighted in your prayers. How would you like to be God and listen to 6 billion prayers all at the same time, which he's capable of doing, and more besides? Awesome personality. Awesome person. Awesome. He can hold 6 billion conversations all at one time. Every person on this planet can appeal to him, and you don't have to wait in line, and you get no busy signals. How would you like to listen to what's being said to you? You are God. You got people offering prayers in some parts of this planet requesting the murder of, the killing of, the demise of. Abominable things, God, they don't get hurt. No, we got people who think that God is like, you know, they got things mixed up somehow. And this is pretty common in contemporary Christianity in America. If you listen to some of our prayers, you'd have to, it should be important to ask the question, according to our prayers, who is the Lord and who is the servant? Because if you listen to prayers, you'd think that we were the Lord and he was the servant, and our job in prayer is to tell him what we think he ought to do for the next 24 hours. Let me tell you something. It's more important that I hear from heaven than that heaven hear from me. It's more important that God direct me than I try to direct God. Now, I am delighted in this wonderful condition that you can get in a relationship with God where your requests out of uprightness are so effective. God, yeah, he wants to get involved with what you're praying about. Isn't that good news? Uprightness increases your receptivity of your prayers. Now, uprightness guarantees the prosperity of your household. Wow. Everybody in your household. You see, a household is the smallest unit of authority structure, the family. And the head of the household is the husband, and the helper is the wife. And they set up a house. That household is a jurisdiction. Now, I don't want you to miss that sentence. A household is a jurisdiction with two people in charge, a husband and a wife, from father to mother. Watch this diagram for a moment. I'm going to try and draw. Here's a household. Now watch this. It has a front door here, has a back door, has some windows. And as a householder, as the head of house, as a husband, father, mother, and wife, you are responsible for Everybody that comes, whoops, that's the window, through the door. And the window. Including the bugs. And the people. You should, this is a jurisdiction over which you are set in authority. And nothing is to enter the household without the consent, joyful consent, of the householder. Now, here's our problem today. There are other secret tunnels into a household. One's called radio. One's called television. One's called telephone. One's called an internet. So, we have all kinds of stuff trying to get inside our household from, and it should not happen without the joyful consent of the householder. And anybody inside the household who allows in what the householder, father, mother, husband, wife, is against, needs to be dealt with severely. They are damaging holy ground. Are you all with me? Are you? Now I want you to take a look at the scripture. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Because you see, the wicked let anything come in, all kinds of stuff come in. It will overthrow the house because, Jesus put it this way, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Don't you kid yourself, Dad, that you can turn your eyes, your ears, or your attention away and let stuff go on inside your house without your joyful consent and it not turn out bad. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. But the tabernacle, the dwelling place, the household of the upright shall flourish. That's why you ought to do a cleansing of your house at least once a year. What magazines have come in that you didn't know about? What's been watched on your television? What pictures, artwork? You say, well, how could artwork have anything to do with it? Let me tell you something. Well, I haven't got time to take you down the whole road, but let me just give you from Scripture. The problem Daniel and the three Hebrew buddies he had, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was their heathen names, who had been kidnapped out of Israel at a young age and brought in to serve. The problem is that everything in Babylon was contaminating. They couldn't drink what others drank. They couldn't eat what others ate. They couldn't wear the same clothes. Astrological symbols were sewn into the stitching subtly. And so they purposed not to defile themselves. A defiled household shall be overthrown, but the house of the upright shall flourish. Uprightness. Straight up. No bickering. No lobbying. No argument. No debate, no discussion, no resistance. We have our hearts fixed on God. You know, let me tell you something. I want to say how grateful I am to the Lord for what He's been doing in all of your lives, but I want to mention Travis again. I want to mention what's begun in Mike. because the decision Mike has made this week, and Travis experienced it last week, with stuff that's been defiling is getting kicked out. Stuff that defiles your health. Stuff that defiles your body. But let me tell you something, it also defiles your mind. No! Go ahead, check out the teachings, which are basically a scriptural summary of topics in the Bible. What's wrong with alcohol? It's not complicated. There's a 9-point list. One of them, listen. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Alcohol affects morality. Look not on the wine when it is red, when it turns into cup. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby, it's not wise. The deceit that goes with that. You see, that's why uprightness means we kick out everything that has a defiling ability or power. Because the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle, oh, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And your children will do better in their school. They'll do better in their future. They'll do better in their walk with God. You will raise up mighty men in spirit instead of those entrapped by the what may seem like the minor allowances of evil. No traitors inside. A good household, properly led, has householders who are equally joyfully zealous to stay upright. Your child is not properly trained simply because they go along with the uprightness. Your child is properly trained when they become a defender of the same standards that you have. Oh, God. Rain righteousness down upon us. Oh, God, give us men who are not for sale, who can't be bought by trinkets and tinsel, neither with gold nor silver. Not for sale. No, sir. Men, God, who'd rather die than sin. In a world of compromise, God, will there be some who will not? And I say, if those men exist, then their households will flourish. Glory to God. Excuse me. I'm not making very good progress here. Now here's a good one. The upright are defended by God. The Lord lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, that's really good. I mean, that's loaded. And he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, this is the Hebrew word, magen, which means buckler. And I think I put this in your notes. It means a shield, a protector. Interesting, Strong says that it includes the scaly hide of a crocodile. God says that he will be like the scaly hide of the crocodile for you. He will be a shield about you. He will be the glory and the lifter of your head. And no good thing will he withhold to them that walk upright. Get defended by God. You get rewarded by God. Here's the testimony of David. I was also upright before God, before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. I didn't give in to it. Now, what I want you to see here, here's what I want you to see. Ready? Watch the screen now. Therefore. Now, what does that mean? It means because of this, therefore, the following takes place. Therefore, hath the Lord recompensed me. According to my uprightness, to my righteousness. He's going to recompense you. Look at this now. According to the cleanness of your hands. Yeah. Everybody getting this? I don't have to preach as much. I don't have to talk as. I don't have to explain as much. If you get it, or you're seeing it. I mean, isn't the Word of God wonderful? It's just right there in front of us. Everything you need right there. Watch this now. He's going to recompense because of this uprightness. And he's going to adjudicate your righteousness according to the cleanness of your hands. Now look at this phrase. In his eyesight. I want you to know a couple things. Number one, nothing is out of the eyesight of God. One of the most terrifying and yet exciting verses of the Bible is this one. 5 words long. Listen to Scripture. Thou, O God, seest me. Well, if you're a sinner, that's a terrifying verse. If you're a hypocrite, it's double terrifying. But if you're upright, oh, what joy. And God does this according to how he sees things. Because every man is right in his own eyes. Right? Proverbs 21, verse 1 and 4. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So you get rewarded by God. And then you get, this goes with uprightness. You want to be strong? Be upright. Because the Lord has a strengthening system provided for, not merely provided for, but functionally carried out to those who are upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The ways of God strengthen the upright. You see, those who are not upright don't want to go the ways of God, right? They want to get off track and go some other way. Well, check this one. Ever wondered why the Word of God is sometimes effective and sometimes not? And by the way, there's a number of explanations, not just this one, but there are a number of explanations why that is so. Scripture says the Word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in the hearers. It is not enough to hear the preaching. That's where it all starts. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the Word of God. It's God's method. It was his idea, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that would believe. But preaching without mixing with faith profits nothing. That's why I hope what you're doing today while you're sitting here is mixing everything you have heard with faith. Because faith, it's as if faith causes a God to send an angel down out of heaven with a golden hammer and a silver nail and fastens that truth to your life. But there's another cause for why the Word doesn't work. And there's a cause for why it does. Let's look at this. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? This is obviously a rhetorical question. Those who walk uprightly the words of God work in them. You know, there's lots of discouraging. You can be discouraged about a lot of things. And by the way, discouragement is something God wants you to get rid of it. He wants you to get rid of discouragement. David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. You need to learn how to do that. I think that the worst thing you can be discouraged about, however, is about this book. Now, you can always tell when somebody's discouraged about the word because it sits closed. Or it seems boring. Or to pick it up on the way to church and drop it off when they get home. Between these two leather covers, my friends, is the most significant stuff on this planet. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 132. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Oh. Now, don't ever get discouraged about this book. Because in here is how to get rid of discouragement. And in here, are the answers to every aspect of your life. The word works in the upright. Now, the upright will always be able to see clearly. They will always be able to see clearly. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Now, there isn't anybody here who doesn't know how important light is, I'm sure. Without light, you can't see where you're going. Without light, you can stumble. Without light, you can be killed. But unto the upright, there arises light in the dark. Let's take a little poetic license for a moment and assume that the darkness represents evil or hurt or tragedy. The upright will never be devastated by it. The lights never go out for us. The darkness that shudders around us like a living, creeping, feeling thing in America cannot put you off track. Because to the upright, when other people wouldn't know which way to go or how to make a wise decision, to the upright there arises a light in the dark. And of course, it's because he is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. You will never be without reliable guidance. Never. Because watch now, because we get some insights here that we haven't seen before, but they surface periodically all through these texts. The upright person automatically has a character quality because of his uprightness. He's upright in heart, upright in speech, upright in judgment, upright in his walk. An upright person has the character quality called integrity. Look at this. The integrity of the upright. It is assumed here by the text that if you're upright, you have integrity. And this integrity of the upright shall guide them. Oh, this is such good news. Guidance is such an important blessing. You see, let me just quote a few scriptures about this. It is not in man to devise his own way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, and even if he falls, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You need guidance. You probably need guidance 500 times a day. For simplicity, let's say 100 times a day. How many decisions do you make in a given day? Some of us in this room make several thousand decisions a day. Others make 20. I don't know how many decisions you make. But every decision that's made without guidance, no, without reliable guidance, is a risk, and the odds of success are minimal. Huh? Guidance. Now, guidance, let's spend a moment on the subject. And that's probably where 10 sounds like a good number to quit at. Maybe I'll quit here and we'll finish the rest of it next Sunday morning. I mean, there are 25 of these benefits. Maybe it'll be the next three Sunday mornings, I don't know. Are you okay out there? I mean, I just get up here and go it's just coming out and I hope you're receiving something good. There are 10,000 voices that want to guide you. Salespeople want to guide you. Let me tell you something. Everybody wants to give you advice for free, which is probably what it's worth. Everybody wants to tell you what to do, how to do it. In fact, one of the central features of fallen man is to want to dominate others and use them for their personal profit. See, love goes out the window. Love is choosing what is best for the other person without personal profit as a motive. You follow that? Come on, I want you to think along with me here. That's what love is. Love is choosing what is best for the other person without personal benefit as a factor. So in the non-authentic Christian world, and I use the word authentic advisedly, because there's a lot in the Christian world. Let me tell you something, dear friends. Church ought to be the safest place in the world. But it's not often. Unless the pastors and the elders are vigilant to keep the wolves outside, they will come in dressed as sheep. How is it that the enemy is able to come in like a flood? Because the standards were too low. Listen to Scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord does what it takes to keep them out. Here's what it does. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up the standards against them. A church without standards and discipline is like a city with broken walls. It's like a person without discretion. And unfortunately, in a fallen world like this, all peoples, including often religious people, want to tell you what to do with your life. How to think, how to decide. Guidance is available all hours of the day. Demons want to guide you. Devils want to guide you. Evil people want you to do what they do. They want to guide you. So what do you do in this world? I suggest to you that you stick to two systems of guidance. They have a few corollaries. But let me mention. Number one is this book. The only way to be more spiritual is to be more scriptural. If we're not going by the word, we're not going the right way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Oh, beloved, I want you, if you ever want to be fanatical about something, be fanatical about the Word of God. These words are not the words of men. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got this. He says in Psalm 127 that he guards his word to make sure there is a version, if you please, that's got integrity, that you can trust with your life. Guidance number one, the Word of God. Guidance number two works with the Word of God, and it is, are you ready? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit will never tell you to do what the Word tells you not to do. Hello, hello, hello. Y'all ought to be. Are you sleeping out there? You ought to be so enthusiastic about this that God has given you two systems that will never fail you. Because I tell you today that more than guided missiles, we need guided men. Or we'll be misguided. An institute. Now, you could also say, I'll give you a corollary. Let me give you one corollary. Because to have God, oh, by the way, let me get away from the screen so I don't go to the next page. This is why you want Jesus in your life. This is why you want to turn your life over to God without stipulation. You can trust Him. Because He is not going to point you in a direction that would cause you to fall over a cliff to your destruction. He's going to be standing there with roadblocks and signs saying, turn back. You can trust Him. You can trust His Word. You can trust the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of spirits that want to control you. But this one that sets, that what sets the Holy Spirit apart, are you ready? That makes Him different than every other spirit. Are you ready? He's holy. That's why you can trust Him. If you have never turned your life 100% over to Jesus Christ to rule in your life, unchallenged by any thought, any idea, any ideology, any other person, any other spirit. If you have never turned your heart over to Him and invited Him to come in to rule in the God position, unchallenged by anybody or anything else, you need to do that today. Yeah. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will give you the ability to say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the light of my salvation. Everybody and everything else, every other business or whatever it is that's trying to give you guidance has a bias. They want to choose your future so they can get something out of you. So who can you trust? Jesus. His word, His spirit. Give Him all of yourself. It's the smartest thing.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.